I want to look at and elaborate on verses 38 to 41. And I want to ask the question, from whom would you accept a cup of cold water? I ask that question because I think this week's reading from Mark's Gospel contains a heartbreaking line of scripture. And that is, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. And we tried to stop him because he was not following us. It's in verse 38. Just pause and think about that for a moment. The disciples come across someone who, as they report to Jesus, was casting out demons in your name, they say. Jesus, there's this person, and he's casting out demons in your name. That is, they came across someone who was easing intense misery. They came across someone who was following Jesus' example, and doing so in Jesus' name. But none of that is enough. Why? Because he was not following us. Notice the shift in pronouns. The other exorcist is doing works of power in your name, but not following us. Apparently, it was not good enough to be a follower of Jesus. You had to be a certain kind of follower, one that towed the line, one that shares a certain type of theological commitment, one that conforms to the church's expectations. I find it interesting that John, the disciple making the report, seems to expect Jesus' approval. John's not asking a question, should we have stopped him? The fact is, John's offering an almost matter-of-fact account, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. However, far from giving his stamp of approval, Jesus corrects John and the others. Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. So it looks like the disciples don't realize how significant or challenging their mission is. And Jesus rebukes them and tells them that they need to find and accept help wherever they can. But then he goes further and says, for truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose their reward or lose a reward. Notice what a small and even paltry example Jesus uses, a cup of water or a cup of cold water. In a mere sentence or two, Jesus has gone from talking about deeds of power now to giving someone a cup of water. So dramatically, that small gesture alone, according to Jesus, is enough to secure one's reward. And one of the things that this complex passage reveals is our human tendency to fear those who are different from us. And because of that difference, we as a church insist on a level of conformity. We insist on a level of uniformity, even bureaucracy, to manage our anxiety. In this passage, that gets worked out by the disciples who want Jesus to put a stop to someone casting out demons in his name because he wasn't one of them. Now, Jesus is having none of this and stresses that whoever does a good work or a deed in his name will have difficulty doing anything else against the name of Jesus in the future. And then suddenly the metaphor is turned around and Jesus promises that anyone who does a good deed for one of them, for one of the disciples, because they're Christian, will be rewarded. Because Jesus is asking them, his disciples, and he's asking us too, to imagine the relief of those unnamed, or that unnamed exorcist was helping. To imagine the names of all those that man was helping. But more importantly, we too may find ourselves dependent on the grace of a stranger one day both individually and also as a church. However, what we don't know, or what we do know, sorry, what we do know is that we're very prone to draw lines between those who are in and those who are out. Sometimes we do it by gender. Many Christian traditions still restrict ordination and leadership to men only. Sometimes those who are in and those who are out, it's done by ordination. Now, I'll probably get strung up by the bishop now, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Remind me again why anyone can come and stand here and proclaim the word of God in a sermon, but only those who are ordained can read from a piece of paper from there, right, to celebrate the Holy Communion. Just a thought.
Sorry.
Just a thought. Hello, Bishop Kate.
It's a thought.
The ins and the outs, yeah? Those who are in and those who are out is sometimes determined by age or by sexual orientation or by ethnicity or by level of income or by religion. So I'm asking all of us to allow this passage to shape how we think, particularly how we think about those who name God differently, or not even at all. To think about what Jesus is saying, even in Luke chapter 10, about those who name God differently. As Jesus sends out, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out his disciples into the harvest, and he says to them, take no money and take no supplies. And then he says, as soon as you enter a house, say, God bless this house with peace. And if the people living in there are peace-loving, your prayer of peace will bless them. But if they are not peace-loving, your prayer will return to you and stay with the same family, eat and drink whatever they give you, because workers are worth what they earn. Do not move around from house to house. Now Jesus is saying, look out for or search out. This is in Luke chapter 10, verses 6 to 7. He's saying, look out for, search out for the person of blessing or the seeker of peace, because that person who names God differently or sees God differently to you will support your gospel mission. Now this is important to have this mindset as a church as we start to come out of this COVID pandemic, because as the church doors open again for worship, we should be and will be looking for and inviting that seeker of peace. We will be inviting the outsider, just like the unnamed exorcist who performs acts of mercy in Jesus' name. And so here is the big idea. We don't know for sure if that unnamed exorcist was a follower of Jesus or a would-be devotee or just someone who had heard that Jesus' name works like a charm. But here's what we do know. We know that he seemed to make the disciples so nervous that they tried to stop him. The disciples, particularly John, who comes up and is the spokesman for the rest of the disciples, they're acting like religious gatekeepers, who's in and who's out. We also know that after giving his blessing to this unnamed character, Jesus then turns the tables and lectures his own disciples against the perils of placing stumbling blocks in front of or before others. All of which makes me wonder, is our fear of those who are different from us placing stumbling blocks before such people as well? If that is true, this text is challenging us to respond differently, to respond as Jesus did to those who believe in a faith different from us perhaps, or not quite the same, or who have no faith whatsoever. Who's ever seen or worn the WWJD bracelet? Come on. Behind me. No? You don't know about that? What would Jesus do bracelet? Maybe you might have bought one for your children or your grandchildren. It was a big fad about 20, 30 years ago, and it's a good thing. But I think the better question that we should ask is what Jesus actually did. Not what would Jesus do, what Jesus actually did. And in this case, Jesus says, don't stop someone who is doing good, even if you're not, even if they're not a member of your group. Don't stop someone doing good, even if they're not a member of your group. Don't refuse the help of someone, even if you don't know whether they believe. And don't place stumbling blocks in the way of anyone who is in need or vulnerable. And the cherry on the cake is, Jesus concludes by saying, be at peace with everyone. One man said these words, to love your neighbour of another faith means to seek to understand them, to learn to see the world from their perspective, to stand with them as if they were, as if it were, so that you can feel what they feel and maybe even come to understand why they love what they love. Now I agree, and I think we can make an evangelistic case based on what Jesus actually did. And that's why he did. And he asks us 2,000 years later to do the same. One man said these words, every time we draw a line between who's in and who's out, we find Jesus on the other side. So here's the big idea. The city of Melton, our community, is only going to get more pluralistic, more complex, more diverse. There's 185,000 people, give or take, in Melton today. By 2050, there will be 500,000 people, give or take, in Melton. That's half the size of Adelaide and the actual size of Canberra, living in the city of Melton. And most of that growth is going to be coming through immigration. And COVID, quite frankly, is just a speed bump in the road. It'll be gone in a couple, 3 years, and we'll be back to immigration, and we'll be back to this as one of the fastest growing residential corridors in Australia. That means every month and every year, we're going to meet and we're going to get to know people who are different from us, who have different faith perhaps, or not the same faith, or no faith. So perhaps this week's reading provides a good opportunity for us to reflect on our Christian responsibilities to those who believe different. And so 2,000 years later, after inquisitions, after persecutions, after the Holocaust, after Northern Ireland, after the Balkans, after 9/11, and after all the religious outrage and violence, we have to stop and imagine that Jesus calls us to be at peace with those who name God differently, or who are able not to name God at all. This will be an enormous challenge in the very near future, not only for the Christian church, but also for Christ Church Melton. So what kind of church do we want to be in 30 years' time, or in 20 years' time, or even in 10 years' time? Are we able to imagine that Jesus would have us not only tolerate those of other faith traditions, but also seek their welfare? Are we able to imagine Jesus calling us to understand them, to love them, and in all these ways be at peace with one another? And as a church and as individuals, we are called to confess Christ as the only way, the only truth, and the only real life. That is true. And as part of that confession, I believe we must love our neighbour in word and in deed, no matter what they may confess. I'll leave those thoughts with you this morning. I don't have a prayer to conclude. I just think we should think about that, especially as we're in lockdown, especially as we think about what church we might want to be on the other side of this COVID lockdown. So I'll just leave that with you to think about.